Welcome to Southern Man Western Town. Call me Tater Salad. Jeff Lawrence, and this is Southern Man Western Town. I think this might be the 100th episode. Then again, it might be the 99th episode. I know I said I was going to record 100 and then see where I'm at. What I have decided to do is kind of just keep it going. I may not do a weekly interview. They just may pop up a couple of times a month. But I do have some in the can now, so they'll probably come out weekly for here next month or so. What I am doing also, though, also here on Anchor.fm, where I record this podcast, is I'm starting a new podcast. I'm not replacing this one. I'm just doing a second podcast, if you will. It's going to be called, or it already is called, it's already there. I just haven't done an episode yet. The trailer is up. It's called The New Vaudeville. Why is it called The New Vaudeville, and what is it? I'm going to tell your asses what it is. It is a, it's going to be a guitar theory podcast. I realize, you know, probably over half of my listeners to this show probably won't listen to that show because, like I said, it's a guitar theory podcast. If you don't listen, if you don't play the guitar, you might not enjoy it. It's going to be pretty boring to you. But what I am doing is called it, like I said, it's called The New Vaudeville, and it's going, I'm going to do it on YouTube and Anchor, and so at the same time, so you'll be able to go on and actually do the lesson with me. It's kind of a lesson, or kind of a, my take on the guitar theory. It's not really my take, it's just maybe things you haven't thought about. If you're a beginner guitarist, it may be a little bit over your head sometimes it won't be. If you're an intermediate guitarist, it'll be right up your alley. If you're an advanced guitarist, you'll probably just say, I already know how to do that. But the thing about the advanced guitarist, there's a lot of things I'm going to be putting on there that you may not have thought about. Like, you already know it prior to know the theory to it, but you may not have actually looked at it that way. I've been doing this a long damn time, so yeah, I think you'll get something out of it. But anyway, you can go onto YouTube and watch it. Man, I'm going to record it on the podcast and put it on YouTube at the exact same time. But The New Vaudeville. I call it that because actually a buddy of mine, used to be in my band, Matt Ferguson, kind of gave me the idea. He didn't know it. I haven't talked to him in about a year. But as we were talking about live music one time, and he said it's basically like vaudeville. It's going to go away. Live music's what he says. And I kind of took that. I kind of somewhat agree with him. I don't know. I don't know if live music will ever really go away, but it's definitely going. It's already went away, and for the most part, as how we know it anyway. Like, you can go see, put it this way, I was working at a Post Malone show where he had sold out the Vivint Arena, which is like, I think it's 25,000 seats, maybe. I don't quote me on that number, but he had no band. He had just a guy with a laptop and him. Occasionally he brought out a guitar, but you know, so I mean, it's definitely changed. I've worked a lot of shows over at the Depot in Salt Lake where they're just, somebody comes out with a laptop, somebody's singing. Sometimes they'll have a drummer, sometimes they'll have a guitarist, but it's usually not the whole band. Don't get me wrong, I know there's whole bands still out there doing it. I know there's the Foo Fighters and, you know, all the old 80s acts and stuff are still out there doing it. But I thought it was an interesting idea, the new, maybe a, what are we going to go to? Eventually, we may not have live music. It might be like holograms. You just, like a jukebox, but holograms. You want to hear Led Zeppelin, you just, Black Dog by Led Zeppelin, you just punch in that, and then it just, there they are on stage. So if you could do that, why would you want a cover band doing it? It's a little bit different vibe, but you see where I'm going with it. But anyway, either if that doesn't happen or it does happen, doesn't matter. It's still the name of the show, The New Vaudeville. So check that out wherever you get your podcast. It will be out soon. And make sure, you know, whatever this show is worth to you, the Southern Man Western Town podcast, make sure you make a one-time donation. Jeff-Lawrence-48 over on Venmo would really help me out. Or you could support the podcast here right directly on anchor.fm/Jeff-Lawrence. Anyway, enough with all that. Today on the show, we have Marion Skor, S-K-O-R. Marion Skor, she has two singles out on Spotify and iTunes and all that right now. She has a lot more songs that are going to be coming out. I'm pretty sure she may have put another one out already before the show will even air. But all you got to do is check it out, and you'll find it. Gives all her social media and stuff on here. Told me last time to, you know, we were talking guitar nerd stuff, and she, I think she didn't actually get to what guitar she played, or I thought she did, but then she texted me and said she didn't, so I'm going to see if I can find that right quick and see what she says here. I'm scrolling through my phone and bullshitting with you at the same time and see what I've got going on here. Okay, I'm not finding it. I will find it. There it is. Okay, so, oh, she says it's a Gibson J45 Deluxe 1969. That's a kick-ass guitar. Ain't not too many people have those. Talks about finding it in a, I think she says pawn shop in Wyoming or something like that. But anyway, it's a unique, her music's unique to me, and not just to me, but it, you know, you always see what I'm saying, it's a different style, but not sure what even style you would put it under, but it's kind of ethereal, maybe, if you will. Anyway, check it out. I like it, you'll like it, and coming up next is going to play a song, her newest, well, it was her latest release when I'd done the interview called Gold Key, which I got off Spotify, but I believe there might be another one out now, so try to find it, but coming up's her song Gold Key, and then I'm going to cut into the interview with Marion Skor coming up next.
Yeah.
All right, joining me now is Marion Score. Did I say your name right?
You did, yes, Marion.
Mm-hmm. I was talking about the score part.
But. Yeah, definitely.
All right, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, actually.
So I was listening to your new song, Gold Key. Is that, that's what it's called, right? Gold Key.
Yeah, Gold Key.
And that's how long ago was it did you put that out?
Well, I put it out actually in a video format, I want to say in maybe last year sometime in the fall.
Oh, okay.
I'd have to go back, but I didn't have any of my streaming stuff set up, so I just recently released it on a few major streaming sites on Wednesday, last Wednesday.
Oh, okay. So I was assuming it was new, but it's actually been around a little bit, just new to Spotify and iTunes and all that.
Yeah, I got a little bit of coverage, I think, with, you know, my community and some of my fans through them checking it out on YouTube. But I think sometimes it's easier for people to check out the song if they don't also have to watch a video.
Yeah, because a lot of people are driving. And like this show, my show goes out to a lot of different countries over in Europe and stuff. And they tend to go over to Spotify. All of them listen to the show on Spotify, this show. And then I usually play one song, and then they'll go over and just whatever else you have on Spotify, they'll listen to it.
Nice.
That's kind of how seems that's the way people do it.
Yeah, I'm just kind of new to all this streaming stuff as an artist, so I'm learning kind of as I go.
Yeah, I'm not new to it anymore, but when I was, it was definitely frustrating for a little while.
Yeah, there's a learning curve for sure. And I think there's different generations that listen to music in different ways. I know a lot of people in my sort of age group, a lot of them don't use Spotify. And so it's really interesting. I'm like, how do I get my music to my fans?
Yeah. I've run into a few people of my age too that don't, but eventually they seem to fall into it. They don't have any choice. I know a lot of the gigs I get, people that are where I'm just filling in and things like that, they'll send me the set list already on Spotify, you know, so kind of have to do it.
Yeah, I do think it's a very great tool for getting your music available for sure.
Yep. And let me ask you, let's see, you're calling me from Salt Lake, right?
Yeah, I actually live in a suburb north of Salt Lake in Bountiful.
Oh, you're not too far from me then. I'm actually from Atlanta, Georgia, but I bought a house up in North Ogden, way up in the north part of Ogden, but so you're not too far. I don't have very many people from or living in Utah actually ever do this show. They don't seem to do it. Usually it's people calling in from Kentucky and Missouri and all over the place.
Oh, wow.
But have you always been in Salt Lake? Or?
Yeah, born and raised. I have deep family roots here. Most of my family still lives here. I definitely travel a lot for work and for, you know, leisure. But for the most part, you know, I've built my hair career in Salt Lake and my community, my art community, my kid lives here. And yeah, and I'm from Utah.
Yeah. I like it here better than I did Georgia. I was in Georgia probably 27 or 28 years, but
wow.
It seems like you're get kind of lost in the shuffle there in the Atlanta area. There's so many musicians, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Salt Lake is definitely has this really interesting kind of slow growth as a city. I've witnessed, you know, because I've been here my whole life, so I've really paid attention to like what's coming in, what businesses are thriving, what does the housing market look like, what is happening in the art culture, you know, and I have so many friends who aren't actually from Utah that have come here for various reasons, most of it like outdoor recreation. And all my really close friends love Utah, and I, since I've grown up here, I'm kind of like, well, I think I should go live somewhere else and at least check it out.
Yeah. I don't know. I've been to a lot of places. I'm sure you have, too. There's a lot of places I definitely wouldn't want to live.
So. For sure. But I think there's something about kind of spreading your wings and at least doing work in other places, building community, making connections. And you can do that with travel, and I have. And I have lots of friends who don't live in Utah. But I've never really established myself outside of Utah, and that does feel a little bit odd.
Yeah, I've found three main differences here as from where I've lived in Georgia and New Orleans and Nashville. And as far as the music scene goes, I've found three main differences that I've noticed. And one is everybody seems to be in five bands, and that didn't happen back where I'm from. And the other thing, one of the other things that I think really kind of they need to change is some of the bars, I'd say the majority of them, you don't really ever know what you're going to get. Like, you might walk into it one night and it's a punk rock band, and the next night it's a country band. And I think it's harder to build a following that way. And I don't see why they don't understand that, because the ones that are successful, like the Westerner Club, they've been there forever, and all they do is country music. You know what you're going to get when you go there, and it's successful. And Club 90's like that. Like, you know you're going to get some kind of dance, top 40 band. It's been there forever. But I don't know why these other clubs don't seem to grasp onto that. But
I don't know if it's also the audience and the guests who are coming. I think that demographic changes quite a bit, because Utah is sort of that smaller city still, Phil. You know, you still have these pockets of culture, and you do have the music industry kind of growing here, but it's still a really small market. And creating a fan base that is still going to come out, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years down the road, like, a lot of times they're doing different things or they've moved.
Yeah, I can see that. That's a good point. When did you get involved in music here? Were you? It seems like I was reading the bio and stuff. It seemed like you were kind of always in entertainment and stuff. But
yeah, I've always been really dialed into production, and I've always felt really comfortable kind of behind the camera, doing photo shoots, hair, makeup, production, building stage, all of that stuff. You know, for festivals and projects at Sundance and. Music is this sort of new culmination of, I guess, kind of all my experience. I've only really been doing music for about 5 years.
Oh, wow. It's good that you're already getting songs out there and stuff. Did you already play the guitar, or have you only been doing that 5 years?
No, I started teaching myself almost 5 years ago to the date here in a month coming up.
That's pretty good progress, I'd say.
I really wanted to learn, and I really have been putting in the time, and I mean, I still feel like I don't know anything, so I know there's a ton for me to learn, and it really became this thing in my life that I needed.
Yeah, maybe we can maybe I can help you out. I've taught for probably 25 years. I don't teach anymore, but I do occasionally. But yeah, maybe I can help you out there on some stuff.
Yeah, sure you can. It sounds like I've listened actually to a lot of your music, and of course I've never seen you play live yet, but I'm sure you have a wealth of knowledge that I would love to. Yeah,
I appreciate that. Yeah, that's another weird thing about here is I don't get to play any of my I don't get to play many of my originals. To get gigs, I have to go out and do Southern rock, blues rock, classic rock, just to get gigs, because my music's mostly instrumental, so I can't really get gigs just doing that, but I could in other cities, so I noticed that was kind of different here, too.
I feel like, I'm still trying to understand art and culture in my own experience of life, and then also how I was raised, and then what it means for community, and kind of witnessing that with, you know, my friends who do music or who do art, and then lots of my friends and family who it's not a big part of their life. And so it would make sense that there's this, these just small pockets of music that's recognizable, which is, you know, what places want you to play. They want people to feel connected when you're playing music. So they want to, you know, make it, I guess, accessible and digestible. And
yeah,
I guess that means covers.
Yeah, I've been here probably 17 years now. It's been a while.
Wow, good amount of time, yeah.
Yeah, and I've been constantly looking for the sound here. Like, you know, where I'm from, it's like Southern rock and a lot of the new country, and like REM and stuff. A lot of bands out of Georgia, but I guess Southern rock would be the sound there. And then you got the Seattle thing, and then you got, you know, Nashville thing, and then you got the L.A., hair metal kind of thing, and just kind of always been looking here what it is here, and I don't guess I've found it yet, or either I haven't noticed what exactly it is. But
I mean, I would say from the musicians that I know and support and watch and have, you know, known for years, and before I even started playing, you know, just going out and witnessing their live music at festivals and whatnot and bars, I would definitely say it's rock and roll, and I know that's just a big genre, but I definitely hear kind of blues rock, I hear some Americana, I hear some kind of alt rock, and then I also hear, I know there's a big scene of artists doing sort of some, that kind of new modern pop rock, where it's alternative rock, but it's modern, and it's now kind of poppy.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, you know, Imagine Dragons and Neon Trees and those kind of bands, probably closest to maybe the Utah sound that I was kind of thinking of, but that would be unique anyway. I'll say that. But
definitely, I feel like I'm coming at it, you know, from, you know, I'm older, and so my musical influences are classic rock and some of the old, you know, kind of standard pop, you know, kings and queens, but I feel like young people making music in Salt Lake, you know, like your 15, 16, 17, 18, 19-year-olds, 20-year-olds, their pop influence is a younger, newer, like, sound.
Yeah, yeah, I have noticed that, too, and especially, you don't necessarily even need a band anymore. I've seen several acts show up with Post Malone was at the what's it called now, Vivid Smart, and he didn't even have anything, just a guy with a laptop playing, and he sold out the place, and there's no band at all
playing his I guess all his music production, and then he's singing to it.
Yeah, he brought out a guitar himself a couple of times, but yeah, he just had a DJ guy with a couple of laptops, and that was it. So it's definitely changed. But speaking of, just kind of switch gears a bit on that, on the song Gold Key, I found it really unique.
Thank you.
What was your inspiration on that? Is there any kind of influences that kind of drove you to that? I don't even know what style that would be. It was a really unique sound.
That song actually was one of, you know, there's songs that you're like, oh, I'm writing a song with this theme in mind. And you know, you kind of follow a formula. That song, and with actually a lot of my really personal, like, songs that are really close to, like, my life experiences, they kind of just pop out, and I just kind of get out of the way. And I don't have a formula for it, and I sit with the guitar. I'm usually feeling something come through really emotionally, and the guitar has always been that sort of outlet for me.
Right.
To match that emotion, and I just let it come through. And because I'm such a beginner, I don't really know where my fingers are doing on the guitar. I mean, I know your basic chords, right?
Right.
As far as like the rhythm and the melody, I'm kind of just letting the guitar move through me and the melody, and then putting it together. And obviously I go back, you know, how you hone a song down and you chip away at it and then you add this and that. So that song is a really, the lyrics kind of came through. They came through on my birthday about 3 years ago, and I just sat by the river and let it come through.
Yeah, it has like I can't describe the sound, what I'm trying to say with the sound, but yeah, I really liked it though. It was a really unique style. And then you have one other song on that I like too that was on Spotify, and the name's escaping me right now as I've been listening to Gold Key all week.
Aw, thanks. The other song is Armed Salvation.
That's right, that's right. I knew it was Armed something. I didn't want to screw it up.
No, that's right.
Yeah, that one's a totally different style than the other one, it seems.
Yeah, I think so. When I write, I'm a really if I would describe what kind of musical artist I am, a singer-songwriter. For the most part, I write everything with a guitar, and usually it's in tandem with the lyrics coming through, or I've already had the lyrics come through in a melody, and then I'm taking the melody to the guitar. And so when I got into the studio to record these songs, they do sound a little bit different than just me and the guitar.
What studio do you use?
I had a local friend here. His is Bass Lab Studios.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's been doing music for 20 plus years, and he has produced some of his own music, and he's definitely kind of, I would say, along the lines of kind of industrial rock. And so I noticed as I was putting together, the extra layers recording the song, like I did a couple layers with the acoustic guitar, and then we recorded the electric guitar, and I kind of used some pedals, some delay, and some reverb, and then also I added some bass just to add some texture to the soundscape. I found myself moving energetically into a little bit more industrial aspects of the songs I had written. And then experimenting with just also chimes and distorting that, and kind of just experimenting with sound.
Yeah, that's cool. And, I was thinking the whole time, and while you were talking about this, you can always go back and put out just you and the acoustic version of each song.
You
can always do that anytime and kind of show what it is stripped down.
Yeah, I think when I went in, my original plan was just to do an acoustic album. I was like, oh, this is what I have. I'm going to do, this is all I know of, is me and the guitar. And then when I got in, my producer, Stephen Comeau is his name, it was really great. He just suggested that I add a couple other elements, which I just didn't think I had the skill level or the aptitude for, and he just kind of like gently nudged me into that arena.
Yeah, that's what their job is. So.
Yeah, and so I just was like, okay, I guess I'll try it, and then it started to kind of click. So it was really beautiful. He let me have total control, but he also, I think he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, that's the important thing, because I've had him nudge me in directions where I shouldn't have done a few times myself, and certain producers have done that to me, and it didn't work out, so I'm glad it did for you.
Yeah, I think that sometimes is the scary thing. For me, this being my first experience in a recording studio with my own material, I was like kind of terrified, and I felt very vulnerable. And when you're learning, it's kind of a scary place.
Yeah, it is. Speaking of that, I guess you got more stuff written and things. Are you just going to do what they do nowadays and just release track by track, or are you going to put together a whole album? Or?
Well, I actually recorded, I had started to record 13 songs, and I recorded it last spring. And I was going to release it last year, but I got really sick right after I finished recording, which is sort of interesting that it was this whole like catharsis. And somebody asked me what it was like. I'm like, it kind of felt like an exorcism, like fully.
Yeah.
Because I got really sick as soon as I finished like recording the last song, and had to kind of deal with that. And then I just kind of was like, okay, that was so hard and so challenging. I think I'm going to sit on the music for a minute, wait for maybe there to be kind of space in people's energy levels for them to receive. The music, I would say, is a little bit heavy, and I totally know that. And I wanted it to be received just in a place that felt like organic and natural.
Right.
And I didn't want to rush it, and I didn't because originally I planned on releasing everything last year. So now I have a total of 9 songs I'll be releasing, but I think I'll do maybe one more single and then release the full album.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And like, I've got 26 albums out there, but from now on, I don't even think I'm going to do any more albums. I'm just going to do track by track. It seems to not nice. It seems to not matter a lot as far as my stuff anyway. As far as doing the whole album, it seems to just become something for merch sales at the shows.
But right, 26 albums is a very great collection. You should be very proud of yourself.
I'm proud of about 8 of them. Some of them I probably shouldn't be released, but that's the way it is. But yeah.
I think it's that you put stuff out. I just, you know, I'm just getting started, and so I am, it's so much to take on.
Yeah, there was a point where I was signed on as a songwriter and stuff back in the day, and I'd write stuff, and it never really got finished, and then the record company was about to go out of business. They got desperate and just started releasing stuff without my knowledge. So I've got like several things out there that wasn't even ready to be released, but it is.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I had to fight and, you know, and get the rights back to it, but it's out there now. I can't pull it off, and it's no point in it at this point.
Wow. That's a very, stories you hear about artists and record companies and, oh, wow.
Yeah, it's, I could tell some stories, especially moving to Nashville back in around 92. It was a lot different than it is now.
Oh, my God. I would love to hear some of your stories.
I've got one letter from Charlie Daniels' manager. I was pitching songs to him, and this is funny. I still got the letter. It says, "Your songs are too, we don't like to have drinking mentioned in the songs." And now every song you listen to country music's all drinking every song. I was like, yeah, so it was funny about that.
Yeah, that is interesting. I think with my limited understanding of commercially released music versus independent artists releasing stuff now where they can release it themselves, you know, this is what I'm doing. And having total freedom of what's in the song content and what it sounds like. And the artist being like, this is what's coming out of me. I don't want to shave it down or change it so it suits some audience that I don't even know.
Yeah, and that's the situation I found myself in Nashville. They gave me a job as a songwriter, but I had to report every day like it was a job. Wow. And sit around with people I didn't know at a table and write songs for other people. Like, you're not always inspired every day to do that. So,
right. But I just actually, strangely enough, had somebody that I don't know contact me through Instagram and ask if I would write a song for them. And I was like, whoa, nobody's asked me to write a song for them. And so I'm kind of coming in. I'm like excited. It's for her young daughter. You know, so I got the details, what she wants in it. And I don't know if she's listened to any of my music. This is the mother, you know, or whoever is on the other end. I don't even know if that's the case. And so I'm trying to look at it like this opportunity to write something as fast as I can, but with as much authenticity as I can put into it, knowing these details about this young girl. And it's been actually kind of cool. Like, I got really connected to my inner 7-year-old while I was writing it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and I'm actually really excited about it.
Well, if you can, you know, if you come up with a really nice melody that you like, that's half the battle. And, you know, I guess the melody and the lyrics are kind of the whole thing.
Yeah, definitely. And then you dress it up with, you know, an instrument and...
Yeah. So how long do you think it'll be before you release another original?
Well, I actually have something scheduled for this Wednesday, but I'm going to try to move it back. I've been doing a bunch of admin stuff, trying to get an EPK handled and some press release stuff. And because I'm doing it all myself, so it's a little, it is a little bit of a circus, as you know.
Yeah, I've been trying to put together a decent EPK for 10 years. I still don't have one.
And my friend's like, why do you need that? I'm like, well, I feel like it might be a good thing for me to have, considering I am doing this myself. I don't even know. Every time I step a little bit farther into this journey, I'm like, what have I gotten myself into?
Well, once you get, well, I'm sure you already have it, but once you have 45 minutes of material, the EPK will come in handy. That's when you can start booking things, you know?
Yeah. I mean, last year I did do my first 3-hour show, and it was covers and originals. So I felt like that was a big milestone. I was like, I can do that. I can sit in front of a crowd and play for 3 hours, with a couple breaks. And still, for me, it was really like, can I enjoy it while I do it? Does it feel like this really hard thing that I'm not also having fun?
Yeah, that's my problem.
And I had a good time. It was still challenging. I had to prepare really hard for it, which is good. I like challenges. I like challenging situations. I feel like there's a lot of growth in them.
Yeah, I usually do 3-hour gigs too, and it is something to be proud of when you can do 3-4 hours, because there's most of the famous artists that come to Vivid Smart and stuff can't do 2 hours.
Let me ask you this question: when you do your 3 or 4 hour show, I just am curious, how many breaks do you take?
I don't do it like everyone else. I do 2 sets. I take 1 break in the middle, and my band hates it, I don't know. I don't like to do that. Most people do 3 breaks, or they'll do 2 breaks. They'll play close to an hour, take 15 minutes, do another hour, 15 minutes, and that kind of thing. Wrap it up on the third set. But yeah, I try to divide it in half and just take a little bit of a longer middle.
Okay, that's good. Good advice. I did the 3 hours. I did 2 breaks, and they kind of looked at me like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Well, this is what people who I've asked, this is what they do." I'm like, I'm new to this. I don't know.
Yeah, as long as it's not too long. I've definitely seen, especially people that drink a lot, really abuse the breaks thing. and especially people that don't have enough material, they'll drag the breaks out half hour or so. But yeah, I try to just nail it and take a 20-minute break in the middle and just keep it going.
Yeah, I don't drink, which is a good thing. I felt like I was able to show up and be professional and deliver what they asked me to do. So I felt really good about it. It was my first time doing it. So yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. It's not just, the majority of it's talent, but you also got to show up on time, straight. And there's a lot of other stuff that goes into it that some of the most talented people can't do, because they have the other two problems where they're late and drunk. But it's kind of the whole picture there.
Yeah, I imagine if I had done music in my 20s, I wouldn't have lasted very long, because that's when I was, a little bit more unresponsible with my libations and such.
Yeah, and I'm that way too. I'm older as well, and I just look at it as any other job. But it kind of takes the fun out of it in a lot of ways too, I think. But I'm not a big drinker or anything anyway, so I'm not going out to party. That's a lot of these bands. That's what it is to them. It's just a party, but that can be good, because you're at a bar. I mean, that's what people are there to do. So
yeah, I'm trying to find that fine middle ground where I know that people come to a show. There's this interesting demographic. There's people that come, they really want to hear the music. They're going to pay attention the whole time. Then there's people who, they don't care who's playing. They just want to go to a place to be seen.
Right.
And then there's people who are there to, drink and engage socially. And they kind of like the music and they want to support you. And it's kind of a mix of all these different reasons, but people are there. And I think trying to enjoy yourself, this is what I'm learning, regardless of if somebody's paying attention to you playing or if somebody's being loud and rowdy. And still, talking to another musician, she's like, if you're not having fun while you're performing, people know that. And then they're not having fun.
Yeah, I have to put on an act sometimes because I don't have fun a lot of times anymore. It's bad to admit that, but I don't.
Well, it's a reality. I totally understand. I also, if you're an entertainer and you've been doing it a while in whatever realm, when you get on stage, there's an aspect of like, okay, this is my show. This is the show that I've learned to present.
Yeah, that's the way I do it. I just like, this is what I do, and I've been successfully booked for 25, 30 years. This is it.
So. Well, then you must be, I'm sure that something. Maybe it's still as fun as it used to for you, but I imagine people really enjoy what you're putting out.
Yeah, sometimes. You know, that's another weird thing about Utah, too, is a lot of times I've played places where they don't turn around, they don't clap, nothing. And then the end of the night, I'll like almost apologize to the bar owner. I'm like, and he'll like, what are you talking about? They loved you. I was like, I couldn't tell. He goes, oh yeah, they all told me. It's like they didn't even turn around and clap one time. I was like, so that's a kind of a weird thing. That tends to happen down in the Utah County area a lot. I don't know what the difference is down there, but
I imagine they are a little more conservative in. Maybe the way they engage with entertainment or art or culture. The word dry is coming up for me, and not in a derogatory way, but just I think the collective there is definitely maybe not as rowdy or doesn't act as rowdy, but they still maybe really appreciate what's happening on stage.
Yeah, they're actually listening. I'm not used to that sometimes. So I've kept you a long time now. I don't want to mess up your whole Sunday. But so you say you may do something Wednesday, but probably not as far as release?
Well, I'm going to try to push it out another week if my distributor will let me. And I'm probably going to jump on that here in the next little bit. But I can definitely let you know if it's going to be released on Wednesday or next Wednesday, if that is something you'd like.
Okay. Yeah, because this show will be out on next Saturday, so it'll probably line up with it when you're close to your release anyway.
Yeah.
And this show goes out to about 4,000 people or so, so hopefully you'll get a few new listeners out of this.
Oh, I'm so grateful. I'm definitely learning a lot about my own understanding of what it means to be seen in the music industry, what it means to be, regarded by your peers in the music industry. Like, lots of lessons for me doing this for my first time. And I'm trying to move through it with grace and just understand that there is a process to releasing and being a new artist and having material that nobody knows about and a new sound.
Yep.
And
feel free to reach out and ask me anything. I don't know everything, but I've been doing it a long time. I may not know what to do, but I can tell you 20 things not to do.
Well, sometimes those are the most helpful. That's the most helpful advice.
Yeah. I always tell people I'm going to write a book, how to become a successful musician in 5,300 easy steps.
Yep, do it.
But all right. Well, yeah. I got to ask you one guitar nerd question before you get off the air here, because I got guitar nerds that listen to this show a lot, and they always want to know what guitars people are playing. So, what's your go-to acoustic that you write and stuff on?
Well, luckily, I landed a vintage Gibson J45.
Acoustic. That's nice.
And I almost feel like it was a gift from the gods. I got it at like a music thrift store in Wyoming, actually. And it was right when I was trying to decide if I should kind of do more music, like step into it a little more professionally. And this guitar showed up and I spent a lot of money on it. And basically it opened up my voice. It's like my new best. It's like my best friend.
Yeah, that's a good guitar. I definitely hang on to that.
It has been one of the biggest treasures I've ever received, so I'm so grateful for it.
Yeah, I have a lot of guitar guys that listen to the show, and they always send me emails and beat me up if I don't ask people what guitars they play, which personally I'm not someone that cares that much, but a lot of my listeners do. But that one's a good one there, the one you have. I definitely care about that one.
It's so special. I feel like there was just one owner before, and I, like, whenever I play it, I think he smoked a little bit, so I can, there's like these really old remnants of tobacco smell with it.
Yeah.
And I love it. It's not, it doesn't stink. It's just this like almost memoir of whoever played this guitar. And it's, I love it.
Yeah, I'm that way too. I buy a lot of pawn shop guitars just because of that same thing. I just like them already played sometimes.
Right.
But, well, I can't thank you enough for calling in today. I know we've been trying to put this together for a few weeks, and it's mostly me that's my schedule that screwed it up. But I do appreciate it.
And, I'm so honored that you find my music interesting and that you also took the time to have me on your show. Like, what a blessing.
Yeah, I really like the music, and I can't wait to hear what you put out next and start playing some shows. And once you do, we'll have you back on. You can kind of tell everybody what you're up to.
Yeah, my next song single is a little more on the fun, sassy side, so it's good.
That'll be a good mix then. All right.
Yeah.
We'll have a good rest of your day, and we'll talk, but I don't know what, I'll shoot you the Spotify link to this. It also goes on to Apple and everything else, so I don't know. I'll shoot you the links over probably next weekend over whatever phone number you want me to do it on. But
yeah, this one's great. But you can do either line. Yeah, thank you so much, and I hope your day is stellar.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Bye, Jeff.
See you later. All right, everybody, I hope you enjoyed my interview with Marion Score. I know I did. I'm going to keep my tabs on all of her new releases, and you should too. Good stuff. Good songwriter and singer, and, you know, all around just good music. I appreciate you tuning in, and make sure you go to Spotify and iTunes, all those places to get your music, and check out Marion Score. You can also find my music under J.S. Lawrence or Jeff Lawrence or Jeff Lawrence and Warhorse. I'm not going to go down the list of all the other shit I'm on, but on Spotify and iTunes as well. You can also find this show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, as well as all the other places you get your podcasts. Please like, subscribe, and follow wherever whatever the case may be. I'm not really doing Facebook right now. I may turn it back on at some point. I'm kind of happier without it, but I might have to be on there to just help promote the show, especially the new show. But for right now, not on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram at JLawMusicMan. You can find me on Twitter at JeffSLawrence1. Don't do a lot of music stuff on either of those right now, but I do promote the show on both of them, those platforms, and I'm probably going to maybe do some Instagram lives and play some jazz improvs and stuff. My next gig coming up is August 8th at Hopkins Brew Pub. We're going to do a little rock, a little jazz fusion kind of thing. And I do want to say my release that I did with Andrew Glossmacher is released now on YouTube called it's just called Ascension. Make sure you check that out on YouTube. Ascension, Jeff Lawrence, Andrew Glossmacher. And it will be released on trying to think. He says the 24th or 25th. Kind of out of my control. Andrew's kind of doing all that. But I believe that will be released July 24th or 25th. So coming up. And also, Benjamin Reyes is also on that song. He did all the keys and arranged the bridge and stuff. Out of, I believe he's in San Francisco. Never met him. That's the first time I've ever done a song with somebody I've never met. It's kind of the new vaudeville like I'm talking about. Anyway, check out that. Now, let me play it on one of the upcoming episodes. And I'm going to keep the podcast going. Just don't know how frequently it's going to be. But I appreciate you guys tuning in. And be safe out there. Get vaccinated. And if you don't believe in vaccines, I don't know what to tell you. But I can tell you that 99% of everybody in the hospital for COVID and deaths in Utah are unvaccinated people. And as well as I was reading about the state of Maryland, too, 100% of their deaths in June were non-vaccinated people. Story back home, my dad, you know, my dad's a hardcore conservative Republican, which seemed to be the, you can hear that buzzing, that's my amp, but you tend to be the people that don't get vaccinated. But he did. He's all for it. But here, a little story is one of his best friends. He was telling me about probably in his 60s. He's a diamond seller. He sells jewelry, so he goes a lot of jewelry shows and stuff. So him and his wife are anti-vax people, and they went down to Florida, came back with COVID, ended up in the hospital with a stroke. Well, if he would have got the vaccine, none of that would have happened. You got to use your brains. I mean, okay, I understand it's like a, you know, they say it's an experimental vaccine. Maybe it is. It's for emergency use only. I get it. But I think the risk of getting the vaccine side effects are probably a little better than the risk of getting COVID and all that. Depending on your age, I mean, you make your own decision, but, you know, just look at the stats. As far as politics go, looks like the recount for the still recounting the presidential election. I know it's really stupid, but in Arizona didn't wield any new results. No fraud, they say. Of course, if you watch Tucker Carlson or something, he's going to say there still is fraud. But come on, people, come on. All right. Enough of all that. Make sure you check out Marion Score. Make sure if you're in Salt Lake City area, go to Hopkins Brew Pub on August 8th. Check out my band and check out the new podcast, the new vaudeville. I'm hoping to get the first episode up tomorrow. Not real sure if that's going to happen yet, but going to give it a shot. And I will talk to you guys on the next episode. Peace.
In case I don't see you. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.